22. Thursday. So happy to be here with these two crew. Let's go. I get to see it. I'm a first-hand witness, completely blown away every day by the explosion of this platform. But yeah. The glory does not belong to Stu Peters.
That's right.
This is God's platform, and all glory Amen. To God Almighty. All day, every day. Thank you, Jesus, for this platform of truth, exposure, and accountability. Why is Tony Fauci still running around free instead of hanging by the end of a noose somewhere? Oh, please, take your seats. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable, July 21st, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. Before 9/11, the deadliest air disaster in the New York City area was TWA Flight 800. Flight 800 was a 747 flying from New York City to Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris. But after just a few miles in the air, Flight 800 exploded without warning. Every one of its 230 passengers and crew perished. Dead. Well, of course, at the time, this was huge news, understandably. It was one of the first news stories to be a part of the modern 24-hour news cycle. CNN back then was still in its infancy, and their daily viewership as a result of the coverage of this incident quadrupled. The U.S. Navy's website about the rescue effort updated constantly throughout the day, which was unheard of for a government website back then. But yet today, in the wake of this crash, nobody knows what happened. It's been nearly forgotten. So you have to ask yourself, is that organic loss of interest? 230 souls just gone on a commercial airline flight? Nobody cares anymore? Or do people want us to forget about the whole thing? Because you see, from the beginning and ever since, the mystery has lingered about how exactly Flight 800 went down. Now, the National Transportation Safety Board investigated Flight 800's crash for 4 years. It was the largest and the most expensive crash investigation in U.S. history. And after 4 years, the NTSB finally concluded that somehow the fuel air mixture in the plane's fuel tank ignited and blew up, destroying the plane. But even the NTSB could only guess at how this explosion happened, and many people have been skeptical, understandably so, of the official story ever since. On the ground, eyewitnesses to the disaster have testified that they saw a trail of fire moving upward, suggesting a missile, as well as a sudden and dramatic explosion, suggesting some sort of a bomb may have gone off. Now, the FBI also interviewed many eyewitnesses to the disaster, and even though these interviews ought to be the sort of thing that's entirely public, no, instead, these interviews are still massively redacted to this day. So if a missile might have taken down TWA 800, why wouldn't the NTSB and the FBI want to publicize that? William Teal III served in the Navy from 1994 to 2004. He was a personal eyewitness to the TWA crash on board the USS Carr, a U.S. Navy frigate then based out of Norfolk, Virginia. William says that he believes TWA 800 was shot down by the U.S. government, specifically the United States Navy. But naval servicemen were ordered to delete or falsify their records. Teal has been trying to tell this story since 2013. He's been repeatedly threatened that if he says too much, people will ruin his life. But William refuses to be silenced, and we refuse to silence him. He joins us now. Mr. Teal, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you, Stu. Appreciate it.
So you're prepared to sit here today and say the United States government, specifically the United States Navy, fired a missile and shot down a commercial airliner with 230 souls on board.
That is correct.
And you witnessed this.
That is correct.
And you heard communications between naval vessels that substantiate those claims.
Yes.
What did you see? What did you hear?
I was actually sitting under instruction between what we call the track supervisor and the air coordinator. The track supervisor is responsible for sending traffic to other ships to let them know what we call the picture, better known as a playground. What was happening at this time, we were doing battle exercises when actual conducting an airstrike or actual air attack from a small, what we call low, slow flyer. The aircraft was supposed to fly in the commercial air route and then turn towards us. We were supposed to query their aircraft by a certain distance and continue that query to what we call the ROE, rules of engagement. At that time, we were actually trying out what we call the Spy 1 Alpha radar, as well as the SM-2 missile on our new Mod 2 missile launch. We were the first frigate to actually experience this and actually have this modification done. We had just come out of the yards when this actually happened. So what had happened with the profile of TW-800, the aircraft came up into the air zone, and what happened on the Air Corps side, Air Coordinator side, was that he actually put a track on the contact who was squawking no modes, no codes. That's what we were told was going to happen for the profile of the aircraft. Squawking no modes, no codes enabled us to then engage in the contact, begin the query. Where I was sitting and watching everything occur was between the track super and the air supervisor, where the track supervisor had free communications to talk to the other ship, where it was a regular conversation. And when we begin the exercise, they locked onto the track, they transferred information between the tracks, and the other ship actually conducted the firing exercise. On the headset, I heard the conversation of birds away, salvo size two. About a few minutes into the transmission, there was a little bit of silence. I heard a birds away, salvo size two, splash, stand by for BDA. And then it got silent again for a quick minute, and I heard somebody say, oh no, we hit an Airbus. And about 2 minutes later, I heard radio silent. That means everybody's be quiet on the net. And the two guys that I was standing between, sitting between, were looking at each other like, oh no, this is like a horrible mistake. Like something really bad just happened. We couldn't just hit an Airbus. And I'm asking, at the time I was young, what is an Airbus? And he said, that's a commercial aircraft. I mean, we hit a commercial aircraft, and he was telling me, shh, be quiet, like, just be quiet. And then the radio went off from the other ship that actually fired, and they called our captain. Our captain came up to CIC and walked in and got onto the red phone and had the conversation. I can hear in the background the conversation, him saying, these have got to be the most dumbest idiots in the world to not recognize a white missile and a blue missile. How are you on a bridge wing and don't see that we actually are not supposed to fire? You're supposed to see a blue training missile come up on the rail. And they went back and forth about the conversation, and the captain left. His captain was Captain Ray. And he walked into what we call Radio Central. They had conversation, and then they returned back to us. At that time, we stopped the drill, and we were told we're going to go into what's called high-speed evasive maneuvering. High-speed evasive maneuvering is more like a zigzag plan, as if we were running from a submarine or just basically just running a ship to see how we would evade. Part of that, we was told, go back down to berth and be quiet. Don't say nothing at all. We're going to get this sort of situated. We ended up pulling into Bermuda about a day later. And that's when we were told that no one's allowed to leave the ship. There'll be no communications. And that some people are coming on board and they're going to take care of some things that need to be done. They brought all the OSs and everybody that was involved inside CIC. And the process of coming inside CIC, that's when they instructed us then that what happened didn't happen. And that we are not to discuss it. And that some people were coming on board and we need to stay out of combat. So I was told right when everybody was evacuated, leave the space, my OS-1 told me specifically, I need you to grab all the logbooks, close them all up, tape them up, initial them, grab the tape reel from the RD-390 and place everything in this box on the DRT table and someone's coming to collect it. After they came on board, collected the items, we went back in the CIC. My OS-1 was sitting in a chair and he explained to me clearly that if I opened my mouth about what had happened, the government would ruin my life based on my social security number. Once that happened, we came back in and took off. We left Bermuda, maybe a few hours later. We're back out to sea, went back to Norfolk, Virginia. So it was never discussed amongst us again, but we cracked jokes about it throughout the ship and a logbook about somebody being dumb and actually putting the keys in and actually firing a real live missile for a simulation.
I mean, I don't think there's anything to joke about. 230 people dead. That's a tragedy.
No, that is correct.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Thiel. How many people were aboard the USS Carr at that time?
I think I had a crew of about 250, if I'm not mistaken. But that was the hardest part, was CIC didn't have the mids. We didn't have the mids crew. I think my division maybe had about 20, 25 personnel.
So the 250 crew that were on board, did they have this same conversation with the other 249, or was it just you that they singled out and said, we'll ruin your life?
No, I wouldn't say the rest of them. I don't know. I just know OS1 had that personal conversation with me, and there was no one in the space. What everyone else heard, I don't know. We never conversated amongst each other about it.
So all of these years that have passed, and all of those 250 people on board the car, and then presumably the same amount or more or less, but roughly the same on board the firing ship, why are you the only one that is coming forward and talking about this?
Well, I've tried to reach out to other individuals, and some of the individuals I'm trying to locate cannot be located. I have pictures of the individuals, and I cannot find them throughout the system of the Navy and those who are on social media. As far as one individual, he doesn't want to speak because of what he's done in the military as far as his ranking and how far he's got. So he can only confirm that us pulling into Bermuda, and that's as far as he's going to go.
What about the people on the firing ship? Which ship is it that fired the missile?
That's the part of having a hard time remembering of what ship it was that fired. I can't remember what ship was fired, but I always tell people, if you could figure out the port logs for Bermuda from 96 when the USS Carr pulled in, someone else pulled in with us. There were two of us that pulled into Bermuda.
Wikipedia, of course, a terrible, unreliable, and fake site. If you read my Wikipedia, it's completely false, almost totally wrong. But obviously they address this, that the U.S. Navy somehow shot this down, and it's all labeled a big conspiracy theory. One of the first things that happens when you Google TWA Flight 800 is that there's fact checkers everywhere saying, no, this wasn't shot down, which to me legitimizes your story completely. I believe you that this happened. You witnessed it personally, and you heard the radio communications. So what's going to happen to you now that you're out here on a national platform telling this story? And what's your motive? Why are you out here now to this day telling this story?
The reason why I'm out here today is because it bothered me for many years that I could not say anything at all. I thought that was the best thing in the military. I thought that was part of the code of keeping secrets until I actually was attending school and some things have occurred to where I got a flash TW-800 on my website on Facebook, which I used to have. When I saw that, I started thinking for a minute, why would this story, where was I, how did this come about? And I started replaying from the dreams I was having of having that conversation. It haunted me for years to know that I could not do anything or say anything because it would ruin me because of my social security number. But after meeting a guy by the name of Dave Gedke, one of the fathers of the son on the plane, it brought me to want to come to the surface more because I felt like the right thing needed to be done. I felt like God told me to tell the truth and don't hold back.
Well, God bless you for that, honestly. I mean, thank you for coming forward and talking about this. And I think that there's a lot to be done now. Who would investigate this? Certainly not the FBI. They're too busy listening to programs like mine and trying to indict me or, you know, hunting down grandmas and grandpas that took selfies at the Capitol on January 6th when they were set up by the federal government in a fake Fedsurrection to try to divide this country and legitimize an illegitimate regime into office right now. Our entire bureaucracy and every agency, three-letter agencies, should probably be completely rethought or disbanded completely and done away with. The FBI is not going to touch this. So where do we go from here, in your opinion, Mr. Teal?
Currently, I'm understanding that Mr. Stalkup actually has a lawsuit that he filed on the 18th with Massachusetts, as I was reading the Sun Gazette. As far as the major lines, I was told will not take this story. I actually reached out back in 2013 with the Steve Wilkos show, NBC. And because he had the polygraph and he was testing, I asked, is it possible to do that? And she told me she was unable to do that. That was the producer, I think her name was Rachel Wilkos, who told me that she was unable to accommodate me with that and actually to tell the truth of that story. I've addressed it to CNN, no one, everybody ignored me until I met this one guy named Ray Lahr. Ray Lahr is the one who connected me with Jack Cashill, who wrote the book on TWA, The Conspiracy to Cover Up. I helped him with that by providing information pertaining to the Whiskey 105 box and CIC. I was very familiar with the area and what he was writing, and it just puzzled me that the government can actually do this and go on about it.
There's an investigator out there that's willing to take a look at this. And if there's somebody out there with a polygraph that's willing to put Mr. Teal III onto a lie detector test, you're willing to take it?
That's correct. I am willing to take it. As long as it's not government officiated, I'm willing to take it. Because I was told that if I got on the government's by the FBI if they gave me one, but they could say I easily failed.
The Stu Peters Show is going to dig around. We're going to look for somebody that's willing to administer that test, and then we're going to keep pushing this thing all the way. If the U.S. military and the U.S. government is willing to cover up what happened to the USS Liberty when it was targeted and attacked and sunk by the Israelis, they're willing to cover this up as well. Whether it was a mistake or not, I don't know. But they're trying to cover it up, and we're not going to let them get away with it. For your bravery, Mr. Thiel, both serving in our country and now coming forward, serving our country yet again, we appreciate it. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Thiel has nothing to gain and everything to lose by coming forward. And the service that he's now doing to those surviving family members of the 230 lives lost on TWA 800 is extremely commendable. So now we'll see who's willing to give Mr. Thiel that polygraph. And then who's willing to investigate the incident? What other ship was it that pulled into that port alongside the USS Carr? What ship shot down TWA 800? Who's going to investigate it? We will. We're not going to let it go. That's for sure. We commend Mr. Thiel for his bravery in coming forward, despite the threats that he's receiving, unsurprisingly. Protect everything that you've worked hard to save by protecting it with physical gold and silver. Call my good friends at GoldCo, 855-706-GOLD. Tax hikes, hyperinflation, Biden's only way out of the supposed $30 trillion federal debt, which is a fake construct as well. But what's not fake is real gold and silver. And when you call GoldCo, you'll get up to $10,000 or more in real free silver with a qualified account. Call them today and protect everything, 855-706-GOLD. If you have $50,000 or more in your IRA, 401k, or your savings account, you know as well as I do, it's at imminent risk, right? You know that. Everybody knows that. So call them today, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. A new report on COVID has come out, created by a group of Christians, engineers, and scientists. They've run the numbers. They argue that the global surge of excess deaths that we've talked about on this program didn't come with the arrival of COVID. No, it came with the rollout of the injections that global elites want to force onto everybody. And according to the authors of this report, this is all clearly intentional. And the proof can be seen in the biostructures present inside vaccinated bodies. Karen Kingston was supposed to join us to discuss this breaking story, but sadly she's ill, so Dr. Ariana Love graciously agreed to come on in Karen's place, and she joins us now. Dr. Love, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
A pleasure to be back, Stu.
So we've talked about this global surge of excess deaths. Now this report suggests it's all intentional, and the proof can be seen in the blood of the vaccinated.
Right. This was an incredible report done by Hope and Tavan, the daughter of Valerie Robitaille. They're in Morocco. And there's so much information packed in this report. I encourage everybody to read it. But there's two reports that came out recently. One was from Our World Data that shows the, it's a worldwide database for births and deaths. And it shows that the incredible excess of deaths worldwide that began right after the vaccine rollout in 2019. So within the last two years, this shouldn't surprise anybody.
This is no surprise to us. This is exactly the intended consequence. The shots are killing people. So what does the evidence say? What does the proof say? What are these biostructures that are being seen inside the vaccinated?
Okay. So there's also a second report from the Mac Economist that says that there's 25 million excess deaths within the last 2 years, but I think that's greatly underreported. And, you know, China, for example, was not reporting their deaths. So this was in Hope's report, and they covered so many things, and they gave a presentation on Sargent Report, which I recommend everybody watch that. But a couple of things that she didn't mention in that report was about the BlackRock AI Aladdin. This seems to be a quantum computer that is computing everybody's data. So, through this vaccine holocaust. And I think you should have her on to explain more about that. It's incredible, fascinating stuff. And then also they covered the MacBook, the Bluetooth signal that's coming out of vaccinated people. And it's also coming out of the graves. I mean, there's lots of evidence of it. You know, you can download an app in your phone and you can monitor the Bluetooth signals coming out of the vaccinated. So this technology, it's a liquid crystal micro receivers. This was also covered by La Quinta Columna. It can turn the brain into a zombie, literally. And let's see, I've got my notes here, reading from my notes. So it allows for remote magnetic control of the nervous system. It was also developed by DARPA. And there are patents and examples of brain manipulation in Hope's and Tavon's report. That's why I recommend people study it. They're also using a magnetic nanopowder for 6G technology, so to interface humans with the internet. They included a couple of links that prove that they are hooking people up to the internet with this technology. And then let's see, going on, there was information in there from Edward Dowd. He's the ex-BlackRock manager. He said within the last 1 year, here are some statistics. The disability rates have increased by 10%. The corporate vax mandates, excess deaths reported by insurance companies are up 40%. And then there's an 84% jump in millennial deaths. That's ages between 25 and 44. And this is people basically got the jab to keep the job.
Does anything good come out of DARPA ever? Is anything good come from BlackRock ever? Does anybody have any objection to just incinerating the entire global supply of these bioweapon injections and prosecuting everybody who's either responsible for developing them or pushing them or continuing to endorse them?
Right. That's exactly what needs to happen. Trials and execution. So then the embalmers as well, there's a lot of embalmers are being threatened to remain silent. And this is by the chain of command. So these tissue scaffolding that I reported on your show, there's more studies about that. I found more studies. I give you four more links. Basically they are tissue scaffolding inside of humans. They are collecting embryonic cells from babies. So they are human trafficking, and they are collecting umbilical cord blood, which feeds the tissue so it can grow inside the body. They're also using embryonic cells from other species. And there is a graph and a patent inside this report from Hope and Tavon, and it's titled Patent Examples, Mental Manipulation. And this, I wanted to draw particular attention to this. It's a United States patent. It's entitled An Artificial Intelligence Machine Learning Perspective on Social Simulation by DARPA. And there are some images here that show how the person is controlled. And these images show the somatic cells that are being used and how they're growing inside the body, inside the brain. And there's these little, like a neural network that looks like hydras. And this is mature DA, it's called. So what these are, and you know, they're building a new artificial brain inside of humans. And this is the proof, this is the evidence. It could be externally controlled magnetically, and the person can be manipulated, they can be lobotomized. We've talked about that before. And here is a graph showing that.
And how are they doing it? What's the mechanism that they deliver this control with?
Right. Well, they're using these, they're growing organoids inside of the body, inside the brain. They're using transgenic Hydra vulgaris, that's genetically modified. They can use parasites, they can use worms. I found all the studies. I've reported on them on my website. These somatic cells that they grow inside the body, they become structures or like organs, like they cell signal. So they can, they set up their own neural network basically, and they can build an entire brain from scratch. And scientists have been boasting about this and getting money for this. So basically all of my clients that are vaxxed complain of electromagnetic radiation in their head region, and like is it and movement in their head and something going up their spine and things moving under the skin. And the Hope and Tavon have a technology, it's a Tesla technology, that can through I guess a frequency, they can disable this weapon system. So that's another resource for people. I also in my protocol am able to get rid of the technology from the body, but especially from the brain, that goes very quickly.
So has anybody come out and identified who it is that's sitting at the controls of this computer or whatever it is that's manipulating the brains of people who've received this bioweapon shot, this euthanasia injection?
I think I may have come the closest. by pointing out that this technology, the quantum dot, you know, for DNA barcoding was developed at the Hebrew University in occupied Jerusalem. And that is, you know, the same university where Professor Yuval Harari works at. So they own the patents on much of this technology, the Israeli state. So does the CCP. So, I mean, those are the people. I mean, would you really want someone like Yuval Harari controlling your brain? I mean, this is the big question. People need to stop putting these injections into themselves and into their children. I encourage everybody to go and look at that report and the studies, and I'm going to give you more studies that are mind-blowing. And I think that covers just about everything.
Okay. This is a lot to take in, obviously, this breaking report. I mean, you can see it in the biostructures present inside vaccinated bodies. All of those reports can be seen at stupeters.com. Dr. Arianna Love, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you.
The food supply is in peril. War has wiped out grain stores. Mysterious fires have consumed dozens of processing plants. And the Biden junta is paying farmers not to grow.
We could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages.
But there's hope from heaven. Heavensharvest.com.
That stuff is perfect. It's 25-year shelf life. You can buy it, stick it in your closet, and forget about it.
Christian-owned, kingdom-operated, is ready to help your family prepare for famine, pestilence, and another pandemic. Join Heaven's Harvest Food Club today and enjoy the benefits of a stockpile and peace of mind. No cost, free shipping, cancel anytime, preparation on demand, water filters, seeds, and vacuum-sealed buckets of grub. Call today for 1 month's supply of food for less than the cost of a daily meal, or fill your stores for a whole year with food that lasts. Don't wait. Prepare for the devil's work. HeavensHarvest.com, your angel investor for enduring the end times.
Imagine a chocolate that you can consume that's good for your health. Yeah, chocolate lovers, we're talking about guilt-free chocolate that actually reduces inflammation in your body and makes you feel the best that you've ever felt. Plus, it's all friendly with keto and vegan diets and paleo and vegetarian diets and all of that. EarthEcoFoods.com. EarthEcoFoods.com has been a leader in the superfoods industry, and now they start with 100% organic cocoa beans naturally kissed by the sun, so they maintain all of their health benefits. And then they mix it with turmeric and MCT oil and black cracked pepper and sea salt. It's unbelievable, and it's good for you. Go to EarthEcoFoods.com right now. Make sure that you tell them that Stu Peters sent you when you go to EarthEcoFoods.com. Basil Boz is a former CIA special agent. He's the author of the Terrorism Survival Handbook. He's appeared on both CNN and MSNBC. He's also worked as a film and television writer and actor as well. But now Basil is the founder of ARC, the Association of the Recovery of Children. The ARC is a nonprofit comprising former police, intelligence officers, and special forces who now spend their time finding and recovering missing, abducted, or trafficked American children, whether they're being held here in the United States or overseas. ARC supplies all of its services 100% free, and they claim to have a 100% success rate tracking these kids. Well, Basil says that now one of the group's recent cases centered on the Biden regime's self-inflicted disaster on the Mexican border. ARC received a tip that flights filled with illegal immigrant children would be swooping into the United States. So Basil and his team traced these flights to Tennessee and Florida. They even got the planes on tape. Basil says that they saw the children taken off of planes and loaded onto three buses. Basil says that they then tracked two of these buses and eventually saw children taken off and loaded into individual cars. There were no papers, no process, nothing. Just children pouring in from Mexico to an unknown fate. For more information on what they saw, we're joined by Basil Boz himself. Basil, thank you so much for coming. We certainly appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Stu. It's good to be here with you today.
So this doesn't come as a surprise to this show, but you, unlike many others that report this, actually have this on tape, and you've comprehensively followed up on all of this. So where are these kids going?
That's a really good question, Stu. We don't know. And that's the sad part about it. We absolutely don't know. During the operation, you know, we also sent an after-action report up to ICE through my channels up there. I got a response back from ICE that said this was sanctioned by the Biden administration. Now, it's interesting about that. I also contacted the governor of Tennessee, who said he had absolutely, or his staff said he had absolutely no idea what was going on in his state. And yet, Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, who we checked in with prior to launching the operation, said, no, this is on the up and up. So there's not just miscommunication, there's actually a lot of dodging the bullets. Interesting enough on these flights also, Stu, is that none of the passengers were on the manifest were known as souls. They were bringing in cargo, and that's it, cargo. As a former CIA officer, the only time you generally run something at 2 o'clock in the morning under the cover of darkness and change the manifest is if there's some type of, well, nefarious activity, or if there's something you don't want anybody else to know. So if in fact, what ICE was telling me that this was sanctioned by the Biden administration, then why all the secrecy? And in addition to that, after we tracked the aircraft, they were registered at a company that was already bankrupt. Not only in addition to that, the tail numbers on one of the aircraft, as you might notice in some of the video, is like really placed bad. It's not a professional job. So there's all of this gray, there's all of this secrecy, there's all of this not being on the up and up. And as you mentioned, when we did follow the buses, the kids weren't taken to a reunification center. They were offloaded and just distributed to various vehicles. I saw no exchange of paperwork at all. And those vehicles in haste left the area. So there's a lot to be questioned. In addition to that, some of the aircraft looked like they were light loaded. Now, for a lot of people that don't know what that means, anytime a drug dealer wants to bring in contraband, they'll say you have an aircraft that has, it'll hold 200 people. You'll light load it with 60 people, but the plane will actually still stay heavy. Why? Because there's stuff in the belly. These aircraft dropped these kids off in on this particular operation and then went from there to New Jersey. Question for us was, why New Jersey? What's in New Jersey? So there's a lot of nefarious activity, a lot of cover up. And after I discussed this with some of our attorneys, one of our attorneys made a comment, which was very interesting. Based on all the evidence that we had supplied them with, he said, you know what? This appears to be one of the largest illegal trafficking operations by the federal government that we have possibly ever seen. Because once we burn up the area there in Tennessee at Wilson Airfield, and by the way, the owners of Wilson Airfield also claimed they didn't know anything about it. They started trafficking, or these planes started landing other places like Houston, Jacksonville, Florida, Pennsylvania. And I would assume, based on what we saw, that more of the same thing was happening in those places. And I doubt very seriously that Governor DeSantis even knew they were landing in Jacksonville.
So I don't know that for a fact. This could be speculation, or you might know the answer to this. Why are these kids coming here?
Well, that's interesting. I don't know why all the kids are coming here, but my best assessment for all the illegal aliens coming across the border is this. You fled the country, you break the economy, you have 9 million illegal immigrants in the country. Those 9 million illegal immigrants are eventually going to be Democratic votes. In addition to destroying the economy, we can't support them, we can't feed them, we can't provide them with medical, whatever it may be. So none of that makes any sense. But I will tell you something that does make sense. We had one of our assets that we sent down and it said, please take a meeting with the Sinaloa cartel and have them explain to us why the unaccompanied minors are coming across. Now, I'm not law enforcement, I'm former CIA, and a lot of times you dance with the devil and you don't poke him in the eye, and I hate what the cartel does, so I'm not their buddy. But we did have access. This is what a member of the cartel told us. A child comes across the border, let's say 17. He goes to foster care somewhere in America. He ages out, he's 18. What does he do for a living? He has no education, he has no job, and he's not going to get one. I'll tell you what he does. He works for us. These are our future drug traffickers, our future child porn distributors, and the list goes on and on and on. And that came out of the mouth of a member of the cartel, and I have no other reason to believe it's not true.
Well, Democratic votes doesn't make sense to me because they just cheat in our elections. They don't need actual real people to vote. So the only thing that makes sense to me is child sex trafficking and drug running, the two most successful and largest enterprises in all of America, quite possibly all of the world, actually billions of dollars every year. All of these kids were unaccompanied. Could you tell the ages and the median age of these kids, or did it range?
It ranged from what I saw were toddlers, like maybe someone was 5 years old, to teenagers.
So the five-year-olds, for example, they were just by themselves. They were offloaded on these buses and they quickly got into vehicles. What kind of vehicles were these? Were they vans or were they just like regular everyday run-of-the-mill cars?
Everyday run-of-the-mill trucks, cars, various, just those kind of vehicles. Nothing organized, not transferred into other buses. Bus drivers didn't get off the bus, exchange paperwork. It was kind of looked really illegal, to be honest with you.
So if the Biden regime is funding this, aka the United States taxpayer is funding this, we are funding the largest child trafficking operation, if your attorney is correct, and if our suspicion is correct, in the history of the country, quite arguably. Who is it that's driving the buses and who is it that's flying the aircraft?
We did further investigation. There was a company out of Atlanta, Georgia. There was another company out of another city. And there was plenty of articles that have been written about this since that operation took place. But a lot of those bus drivers basically said, we don't know anything. We were just told to go do this. So there, you know, people are being cut out of the entire mechanism.
Who's telling them to go and do it?
Their superiors, their bosses. Yeah, it's pretty much there were good articles printed. There were investigative reporters after we turned this over to the local media. They dug into it.
What are the names of these busing companies?
I'll have to pull it up on my report. Okay. Actually, I believe you have a copy of that report.
Yeah, we're going to publish it at stupeters.com if our producers have that. And actually, we could put it on the screen here possibly as well. What's your synopsis here? Do you think that this, what you caught on tape, and what you observed is happening frequently?
Yeah, it was actually happening prior to our operation. In fact, we had an asset who told us, hey, we've had these aircraft land here all throughout the week. There's something going on here, and that's what caused us to launch the operation.
Are you gonna continue to look into this more and try to capture more of this?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and I would encourage other people around their states, if they're even concerned about it, to do the same. I mean, these aircraft aren't landing on the 405 in Los Angeles. They're landing at airfields. So having access to an airfield and knowing what you're looking to might be a little difficult for a few people without having assets inside to give flight times and the type of aircraft and all that. But it's actually something that I don't believe a lot of people are aware of. And I can tell you now that most of my friends that are in the three-letter agencies have been told to stand down. That's it. Just stand down.
The corruption is not coming from individuals that work in a job that they took or worked hard to obtain because they thought that they were going to be doing something good for our country and good for their communities. The corruption is coming from the top.
It's coming from the White House.
The corruption is coming from the White House, which is controlled by a round table, a global cabal of elites. Hell-bent on the destruction of freedom and Christianity and the nuclear family and individual liberties and the Constitution, and is hell-bent on installing a complete dominance, a subservient class, and a ruling class, period.
Absolutely, and anybody that thinks it's any different. Look, communism has just changed its title. It's called globalization. Socialism, communism, it's still effective. And back in the days when McCarthy was trying to tell people about that, everybody made him to look like a fool. But guess what? He wasn't a fool. I'm a cold warrior. I fought during the Cold War to stop this from happening in our country. And we just had this discussion of former CIA guys like 2 weeks ago. How is it that it crept underneath the wire? How is it that we fought so hard to keep the spread of communism, socialism, globalization from affecting our democracy? And now it's here. It's on our soil, in our face. And with that, absolutely, Stu, comes some of the highest levels of corruption that I have ever seen in my lifetime.
Isn't it amazing that our founding fathers, the writers of the most precious documents in American history, knew that one day the tyrants would be here, and boom, look, here they are.
Here they are.
We're going to continue to follow up on all of this. The Association for the Recovery of Children, where can people find your organization online?
If you go to www.recoveryofchildren.org, it's kind of all there.
Recoveryofchildren.org. Go there. We'll continue to follow it. Basil Bas, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu. Take care.
All right. Imagine having a light switch for your brain, like an on switch. No more snooze button hitting. No more groggy waking up slowly before you can process information. No shot of caffeine or cup of coffee required. The light switch is the nootropics brain supplements that you'll find at nootopia.com/Stu Peters. I am telling you, personally, I use the products. The creativity, the clarity, the focus, the drive, all of it is just crystal clear. I sleep better. In the evening times to unwind, I use the Gabalicious product from Nootopia. Unbelievable. Nobody needs to drink alcohol. These things are 100% legal, 100% safe, and completely non-addictive. Plus, you'll learn a lot about yourself when you fill out the personal questionnaire at nootopia.com/Stu Peters. How do you think? How do you process information? Then Nootopia puts together a custom package for you. Go to nootopia.com/Stu Peters. I promise that you'll thank me. You'll perform better at work. You'll be a better parent. You'll be a better lover. You'll be a better husband or wife and a better friend with the brain supplements from Nootopia. Plus, nobody will be able to pull the wool over your eyes because you're processing information at lightning speed. Nootopia.com/Stu Peters. Again, nootopia.com/Stu Peters. You've probably heard of a disease called scurvy. You might not know what it is, but you might remember that scurvy is associated with pirates. Scurvy! Why is that? Well, scurvy used to be routine for sailors on high seas hundreds of years ago. These sailors basically had nothing to eat except stale bread. And so naturally, on voyages lasting months or even years, they'd eventually suffer from gum disease and bleeding, exhaustion, and in extreme cases, death. Well, the surprising cure for scurvy, it turns out, was to stock ships with limes and lemons or other citrus fruits and make sure that the sailors ate them. Well, why is that? Well, because as it turns out, scurvy is caused by a lack of vitamin C, and fruits are full of it. But is that the full story? Lack of vitamin C can kill you through malnutrition, but could it work the other way as well? Could vitamin C actually help to cure disease as well as prevent it? Dr. Thomas Levy is a renaissance man. He's a board-certified cardiologist with 15 years of experience, as well as a bar-certified attorney. He's dabbled in medical research and even has a lot of knowledge of dentistry. He's the author of 13 books. Many of those books revolve around Dr. Levy's distinctive medical theory. Dr. Levy believes that when used properly, vitamin C has the power to neutralize almost all toxins and infections in the human body. He also believes that vitamin C can be an effective treatment for both heart disease and cancer. Now, obviously, this is a huge deal, if true. Vitamin C is everywhere. You can get it from all kinds of fruits and vegetables, and for that matter, we can also mass produce it in factories. Dr. Levy also has a major interest in COVID-19 and the bioweapon injections. He told us before the show that he wants to talk about blood transfusions in particular. With so much vaccinated blood out there in the blood supply, is it safe to receive a blood transfusion? For that matter, is it safe to give blood yourself? We want to ask about that and a lot more. Dr. Levy joins us now. Thank you, Dr. Levy, for coming. We appreciate you being here.
My pleasure. Glad to be here, sir.
So that's a lot to talk about in a short period of time. I think what I'm most interested in right now is the latter in these blood transfusions with all of this vaccinated blood out there. A large number of the population, as reported by the fake lying press, has been vaccinated or injected with this death serum. So what about giving and receiving blood?
Well, first, let me address that first part briefly to see how show you how it ties in with what I'm going to say.
Sure.
Which is the vitamin C is actually the primary nutrient in your body. And in contrast to what you read in the literature where it says it's a micronutrient, it's really a macronutrient because it fuels everything that runs your cells. It's called an antioxidant. And this is the important point about what we're going to talk about. The spike protein and other things we're talking about are toxins. And it's been clearly established, not just my belief. I like to say, well, Dr. Levy believes in this. I just want to say, this is not a religion. This is just a reflection on an enormous amount of science that's been accumulated over the last 80 years. And vitamin C, because of its antioxidant opposition to the pro-oxidant toxin, it is the primary way in which you can detoxify and neutralize toxins. So having said that, we come along to this question about the blood bank. And I got to say, it came as a shock to me some 4 or 5 months ago, a friend of mine brought a letter to my attention that he received from the One Blood Bank, where he routinely gives blood, been giving it for years. He's got a blood type they like, so they don't want to shut him down. And roughly a month after his last donation, and it's about three sentences, so I want to read them to you. This comes from One Blood, Personal and Confidential. The first three sentences are, "This letter contains important information about your recent blood donation. While there is no cause for concern, we do need to let you know that during the testing of your recent blood donation, unexpected laboratory results were detected." And then, underline and bolden, "The results most likely represent a false positive test." And what was the test? The test is for HIV. And it showed that the regular HIV test was positive, but interestingly enough, they followed up with a confirmatory test that was negative, but still didn't satisfy them that the blood was clean. My point is, something is happening to the blood supply, because in this particular case, at the end of the letter, they said to arrange for retesting to see that you're okay, you must contact our donor advocacy team. Well, he contacted them five or six times over the last three or four months. The first two or three times, they said, "We don't have enough test kits." After that, they got so bugged that every time he called, you could hear him answer and hang up. Now, what does that mean? To me, that means there have been so many of these false positives going on that for them to have a response like that, whether it's significant clinically or insignificantly clinically, I don't know yet. But this means that something, whether it's an infection with COVID or post-vaccine, I want to add, in this particular person, he had not taken a vaccine. He had gotten COVID. He never took a vaccine. And then after an appropriate recovery time, he went back to donate blood and then got this alarming letter. So something's going on. Very likely it's due to the presence of the spike protein, which I think probably most of your listeners know about these days, which is supposedly the antigenic part of the entire virus or pathogen to induce immunity. Problem is, the spike protein has an incredibly horrible, unique capacity to replicate itself. So what could be worse than to have a toxin that you give it a certain amount of antitoxin to neutralize it, yet it continues to propagate itself? I mean, it's like getting one dose of mercury, but the mercury keeps on propagating. So this is the nightmare, if you will, with spike protein, is that it continues to reproduce itself, in my opinion, unless early on in the course of either getting COVID or the course of post-vaccination, because they both seem to have similar clinical scenarios, that you hit it hard with powerful biooxidative therapy, which is heralded by vitamin C, hydrogen peroxide, sometimes ultraviolet light irradiation, different ozone preparations, or hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And I say all of these things because so many people, and this I think is the cause of the long-haul chronic COVID syndrome, just treat it like any other cold or flu, which is I'm going to go to bed, take my fluids, do everything I can, and let my body get over it. And that happens. But in the case of most COVID, I believe, unless you have a specific, shall I say, virus nuking strategy, which are the five biooxidative treatments I mentioned, unless you do one of those, you're destined or doomed most of the time to having a long-haul chronic infection. And I believe all long-haul COVID is just a low-grade persistence of the virus waiting to flare up whenever you have a situation where your immune defenses go down. So I would very much like to know how significantly fewer blood donations are being accepted these days, because by the framing of this letter, I think the blood bank is in a world of hurt.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess only the health sent creators of this chimerically engineered bioweapon called COVID-19 would know the answers to a lot of these questions about spike protein replication. And you're right, viewers of this program are basically doctors, Dr. Levy. They get yes. a lot of information here. And we do know that the spike protein acts differently in the virus itself than it does in the shots, and that they are actually two separate patents. And then the shots have, you know, peptides from venomous snakes and other reptiles, even a hedgehog from Germany. So this certainly was a petri dish concoction, you know, that was come up with by psychopaths with the intent to kill people, and it's doing a really good job of that. So the difference between receiving blood and giving it is obviously a big difference. How could somebody who has not received the injection be detrimentally affected by giving blood?
Well, now this is speculation on my part.
Sure.
But I'm thinking, because of what I just said, a lot of people who have had COVID and are over the acute phase and maybe feeling even back to normal still have the COVID pathogen in their body. And so they still have a low grade production of the spike protein. The other thing is, and this again is based on a few limited reports I've seen, some anecdotal experience, and some things that some colleagues have told me, but very early on, for one example, there was a lady who was a massage therapist, and she noticed very early on, a year and a half ago, that in the patients who had been, or at least in two patients that had been recently vaccinated, every time she massaged them with her bare hands, she started breaking out in a rash on her hands, only those two. Now, that's not a scientific study. That in and of itself doesn't mean anything, but it does suggest, and this has been not coming from me, but from many different sources, is that the spike protein can be transmitted or appears to be transmissible under the right circumstances, which of course unleashes a whole horrible panoply of other possibilities, since if avoiding COVID is not good enough, or avoiding the vaccine is not good enough, then we come back, in my opinion, to those five basic therapies where you need to knock it out completely. And it requires a multi-pronged approach, which I believe is very effective. I've been giving away a book for a year and a half now on how to do it. And I'm happy to anybody that sends me an email to send them all the information. I'm just trying to play my part to get this obscene horror out of our of our environment.
It was a well thought out long game by these people who are trying to accomplish a goal of depopulation. And the people who are heavily invested in it have no problem coming right out in front of the whole world saying that they believe only 500 million people should inhabit the Earth. That would mean killing 7.5 billion of us. So I think that you're going to be surprised about the amount of response that you get in your email after coming onto this program, but I'm glad that you're willing to do it. We think that you're qualified to give out the information. So how do people get a hold of you, please?
Very simple. It's my name, MD, T.E. Levy, MD, T-E-L-E-V as in Victor, Y, MD at yahoo.com.
T.E. Levy, MD at yahoo.com. Reach out to Dr. Levy if you want this protocol. Dr. Levy, for your time and for your research, thank you so much, and thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, sir.
Of course, anytime. And if you want to read more of the relevant research on that vitamin C protocol and a whole lot more, visit Dr. Levy's website at peakenergy.com. Again, peakenergy.com. We know that having the right types and appropriate amounts of magnesium in your body is beneficial to your health and all of your body's functions. Magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters for magnesium breakthrough. Did you know that 75% of Americans suffer from a magnesium deficiency? May not even know it. This leads to low mood and sleepless nights, added stress and anxiety, depression even. All of those things lead to an early grave. We don't want that for you. Magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters for the appropriate types and the right amounts of magnesium. One tablet that you take every evening, and I'm telling you, it'll make you feel great. Magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. One more time, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. We are excited as heck to announce the brand new, all revamped StuPeters.com. We need you to be Stu Crew. You want to be Stu Crew, go to the brand new StuPeters.com. You're going to be just having a mental earthquake, totally exploding in your cranium at what you see at the brand new StuPeters.com. And none of that would be possible without this guy right here, Carlos Cortez. The entire existence of this program at its inception is as a result of this guy believing in us. chief sponsor here on the Stu Peters Show, and now just doing so much more. We receive nothing but positive feedback about you, your webinars, the things that you teach at AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com every Tuesday and Thursday, the appointments that you get. People, if you want to set a personal appointment with this guy, CortezWM.com. What are you teaching in your class tonight?
Tonight, we're keeping everything biblical and sound structure. Basically, we're going to be teaching how to literally take your IRAs, protect it from this imminent recession we're about to be in. Come the 28th of this month, Stu, we're getting that GDP report. If it's negative, look for further meltdowns in the market.
Yeah, meltdowns in the market are to be predicted. We're having a meltdown in the White House. We're having a meltdown all over the country and globally. $40, $65, $100 billion. Who's counting? Certainly not Congress. We're sending this money all over to the Ukraine. And you know what? Carlos Cortez can help you with all of that. And when you're deciding who you're going to do business with, as far as a financial advisor, an independent fiduciary is obviously the answer, but somebody that's like-minded, a God-fearing, Jesus-loving individual like Carlos Cortez. Get there immediately following this show, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Again, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. Maybe be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!
Oh,